Good evening, one and all. There we go. I'm getting a phone call on the house phone and, you know, saying that I've got this wonderful delivery which doesn't exist. It's like, you know, these calls you get all the time that says your maintenance on your car's up and all this stuff. Anyway, I am here. And so is my guest and so is the person on the house phone. But we'll try and ignore them. My guest, well, a few months ago, a month or two ago, we had a delightful show with my guest where we went through, brought back a load of memories. Then called Hollywood's Victory Lap. We went through some of the films of the 1940s, the golden age of cinema and all that sort of stuff. Well, he is back. And he is not only back, but he's back with a much wider, I could say, range of this sort of thing, because he has a new book, which I think he mentioned last time about, where he goes through the 100 greatest scenes in motion picture history. Well, I tell you what, my brain has been working overtime trying to think of a few that I'd have in it, but I'm sure I'm nowhere near as good as my guest, because we know that he is a, well, if it's about the movie cinema and stuff like that, he knows it, because he is on the show tonight, and he is the one and only Tony Pazilla. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
How you doing? Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. And she's finished telling me about the insurance stuff that I don't have in the first place. So that's that got me. But yeah, that's the trouble actually with house phones. You can't. It's not so easy to, you know, you can block them on mobiles, but house phones not so easy. Anyway, never mind about that. You are here, and you are here with what I think, and I'm sure you did mention it to us last time, must have been a huge undertaking to try and pick just 100 scenes that greatest scenes from motion pictures.
Yes, it certainly was an effort. Every time I thought I had a good list, I said, "Oh, I forgot this one. I forgot that one." And it's So finally, I ended up adding 10 honorable mentions just to cover.
So the 110, right?
I says, there's no way I want to get 100 in here.
Yeah, I mean, did you find, you know, like 10, 20, 30 were straight off the bat? You know, I know, you know, Grapes of Wrath, Citizen Kane, your sort of favourites like that. Yeah, Psycho, I'd have thought, you know, in the shower scene and you know, things like that. They must have come, you know, pretty easy, you know, when you started writing them down.
Right. Of course, there's a sort of inherent bias, you know, given my age and my interest, I tend towards the, let's say, the older classics rather than some of the newer ones. Obviously, if I was born 15, 20 years later, my interest and my taste probably would have included some more modern ones. But it was a lot of fun in a way, but it was a great challenge just to try to figure out, you know, which films or which scenes do I really want to include in this book.
See, I started thinking, and I thought, well, how far can I go back? And I thought, Charlie Chaplin, what is it, The Kid, The Orphan, The Kid, isn't it? That's one I'd have thought I'd have put in. Did you put that in?
Yes, I did. I listed 5 scenes, and that is one of them.
Right.
Very, 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 and so... But yeah, I did finally say, okay, I'm going to give my, which it was even harder to come up with 5 that of my all time favorites. But you got to have Charlie Chaplin in there.
So. I mean, and there's obviously, you know, might not even know the scene, but you know, I could have been a contender, and I'm on top of the world, that sort of thing. Did you find that it just said, you know, like if you thought of a film, you might have had more than one scene and had to sort of vote which, you know, personally vote sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, the scene that you mentioned, top of the world, and then that's the scene that most they think about. But there's another scene that I included where he's in the dining room. And he gets word, word comes in that his mother had died.
Right.
And he's James Cagney. Sort of passed from mouth to mouth, and then he sits there, and he finally he erupts like a volcano and just goes completely berserk. And I said, oh, that's, you know, I've got to have that one. So, I mean, it's funny how you mentioned and I had never really seen that scene. Someone said, you know, you might want to see the movie, which I did. I saw all these movies, but that's a great scene.
Because with James Cagney, I mean, much of though you hear that all the time, the one with him in that sticks in my mind is, okay, I guess it's Yankee Doodle Dandy, where he's tap dancing down the stairs.
Yes, that's in there. Yeah.
Ah, right.
Fantastic. I mean, just spontaneous. He's coming down the stairs, and I mean, it really, you know, he talks to FDR, and he tells, you know, he thanks him for FDR thanks him for his service and all that. Then he comes tapping down the stairs and all that.
Yeah.
And of course the scene where he sings Yankee Doodle Dandy in there as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. It's you start looking and thinking about these things, and I found it just grew and grew. I mean, singing in the rain, right?
Yeah, that's in there. Yeah.
I mean, that is, even now, you know, I cannot walk down the road in a rainstorm without thinking about it and skipping into puddles, you know, coming up 70 and I still can't. How many people have done that?
You look around and be sure no one's looking. And,
It's great when you think of that sort of thing. Were there any that might surprise people that you put in there, do you think?
What's that?
Were there any that might surprise people that you put in there?
I don't know. I had quite a few. Probably the fact that I have a lot of the classics, like Nosferatu, and I had quite a few scenes in there because it was such a overwhelming film and the color and the contrast and the camera angles. I had one, and then of course the Phantom of the Opera, the original one with Lon Chaney.
Oh, the black and white one.
The unmasking. There's no sound, there's no, you know, and the fact that he reveals his true face to the audience first, and she's sort of, you know, inquisitive because, you know, the mask is off, and finally he turns and all, and then you see her face and the sheer horror of it.
Yeah.
That was really profound. And of course the, Cycle, you know, that scene. I mean, remember seeing that.
Right.
I remember seeing that by myself.
Oh, crikey.
I literally fell off the I slid off the seat onto the floor, and, you know, I couldn't look up. I don't know who I was. I said, is it over with you? It was overwhelming. But, you know, but then besides the scene, what I think is interesting is the fact that everyone says, well, that was Anthony Perkins in that scene.
Yeah.
No, he was on the East Coast. It was someone who looked like him.
Right.
In that, you couldn't tell.
No.
So, you know, I try to go behind the scene, explain how the scene was set.
Oh,
anything,
nice.
Anything that... the reader would not know offhand. My favorite is The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
The scene, the horse scene.
All right,
Marley, a fantastic actor. I loved him. I forget his first name. He's in bed, and Coppola said, "We're gonna have a styrofoam horse, and we're going to put some blood on it. You know, make it look good." Okay. Well, okay, so you know, he's ready. So he's in bed. Well, they got an actual. I mean, they went to a place where the horses die and they you know they chop up the horse. They got an actual horse's head put in the bed, and he turns around and he goes completely berserk. He's screaming, and Coppola must have said, "Great, just exactly what I wanted." You know?
make a take. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I'd be screaming too, and I'd be also pissed. Saying, "Hey, wait a minute, you know." I mean, that was the director got what he wanted from that scene, so obviously that's in there.
So that's the sort of stuff you go into, you know, how the director prepared the actors, and I guess you go into like angles and techniques as well.
Yeah, right. Well, the one of the greatest scenes is High Noon. Okay, so yep. You know. You start, you know, the poor guy, Kane's gone through all this stuff. No one's there to help him. You know, he comes out of his office and, there's a close up and then, you know, the camera, zooms up and the final scene is, of course, is the street scene. The street's completely deserted. He's completely alone. He's there all by himself to face these desperados. I mean, and that's the same type of thing in Gone with the Wind in the, you know, the tattered Confederate flag scene where they show her coming in into the, she's looking for the doctor.
Right.
And, they focus on her, but then they zoom up and start showing more and more, hundreds of people. Of course, half of them were dummies, but the soldiers. And then the final thing is the tattered Confederate flag waving there. I mean, that's just magnificent. You know, just it was the culmination of the way the camera was used.
Right.
And then the opposite, the Rosebud, where they're showing the camera's way back, and then they start zooming down further and further down, and then they show the furnace, and then they zoom inside the furnace, and there's the sled,
right.
the Rosebud. The mystery is solved. What was Rosebud? It was his sled that he had when he was a child. That the memories of that, and it shows that burning and all that. So
right,
just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful scene.
Well, see, talking about burning, Gone with the Wind. I'd have thought the last scene where you see the house, whatever it is, burning in the behind them as a backdrop sort of thing. I mean, you get things like that. I was trying to think. What was I trying to think of? Oh, Shane.
Shane. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. That's probably it's a toss up between High Noon and Shane, but he's shot. He's leaving. He has to leave. You know, is he morally wounded? But he couldn't stay. He couldn't stay because he's a figment of a past generation where gunslingers are passe. People are settling down. They're raising families. His type of living is non-existent.
Right.
He really can't stay. But, that's just a wonderful scene where Brandon DeWitt was calling him and he slumped in the saddle, riding off into the distance. Beautiful acting, beautiful cinematography, and a wonderful, wonderful ending to a wonderful movie.
What we were sort of saying, how the director gets these things done. I remember seeing, it must have been Jimmy Stewart talking about his life and it was really interesting. I do like Jimmy Stewart, and he was saying, reading a thing that I think it's his, the hat and the horse were like the same in like 8 or 9 movies. He had the same horse and the same old tattered greyish hat sort of thing. But the one I'm thinking he mentioned was about the horse used to be more of an actor than he was. And I think it's the one, North to Alaska or something like that, where he's got the bell on the saddle. that goes on. And the director said, "Do you think you can get the horse to walk down the street, you know, by itself, you know, so, 'cause you want the bell to go?" And and he said, "Just ask him. He, you know, you're the director, you ask the horse." And the director went up, director went up to the horse and he said, "Do you think, literally, you know, this is stupid." And he said to the horse, "Can you walk down the high street, you know, the center of the street?" And the horse gave him a look. And when it went, and then they saw the action off, they go, and the blinking horse only did it, didn't they? Went, walked down the high street, and you see it, you hear the bell, you know, the horse walking down the street.
Oh,
and he says, that horse was a better actor than he was, he said.
Sometimes you never know.
Oh, you don't.
Go ahead. Yeah, I love Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, I do as well.
In the book, it's a Rear Window, which is a great movie, and you know, the whole thing is really funny because you know from the very beginning, you shouldn't be snooping on your neighbors because you might see something you shouldn't be seeing, and then the scene, you know. The whole thing with the camera on the window, and then I have the scene that I have is when Grace Kelly is showing him the ring of his murdered wife, and he follows her eyes and looks up and sees Jimmy Stewart with the camera and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point you say, oh my God, what. He, you know, the hunter is going to be the hunted. I mean, he is. I mean, his time is up. I mean, what is he going to do now? I mean, he's crippled and he has no defense. And you know, he's coming. I mean, there's just it's a matter of time for him to come to the lobby, come around, and I mean, your heart starts pounding because you know he's coming. And he said, "How is he going to defend himself?" You know, that's one of my favorite Jimmy Stewart. Movie, but the thing that I like is the fact that some scenes like the cheek to cheek scene in Top Hat with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers dancing,
right.
A wonderful scene, and then years later in The Green Mile shows up twice where He's watching the film.
And
he starts crying.
Yes.
And he says, "What's wrong with you?" And then of course he tells the story to the lady. And then later on, Coffee says, they ask him, "What do you want to do?" He said, "I've never seen a movie." Then they show him, that's why he was crying, because he was shown in the film and he was crying. He says, like angels. I mean, that was beautiful, use of an earlier film, and very touching. Matter of fact, that was on last night again.
Yeah,
Green Mile. One of my favorite Tom Hanks movies.
You're right. It's interesting though. You get films like that bring in other films, sort of thing. Like you just said. I've forgotten what I was thinking now. Young Frankenstein, with putting on the Ritz.
Oh yeah.
Stuff. And like you said about the end films, I was trying to think of a film where the very last bit is something I remember. And I thought of Blazing Saddles, where they go through the desert and there's the big band sitting there playing the music. So that's sort of thing. But then the artistic wise, as you said, I mean, you look at some of these, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the scenes. What was I thinking? Oh, Play Misty for Me. This sort of scene in that where he plays it, and this could be dangerous. You could be, and you think he's all right, and then suddenly he's not. it's the shock, the reverse shock sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, one of the films that a lot of people don't know is the Battleship Potemkin. Which went to the silence film about the Russian Revolution that was at right. And one of the scenes in there is the Odessa Steps. This is where the soldiers come marching down the steps, and just affect everybody. I mean, just like a tornado coming through and just killing everybody. And one of the most heart wrenching scenes is a baby in a carriage, and the mother has been killed. She's been shot, and the carriage just starts to go down the steps one by one by one, picking up speed and all that. And of course,
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So many, many, many years ago, we have the Untouchables, where De Palma used. Remember the scene in the Chicago train station,
right,
where he pushed and the carriage comes down. You know, there's shooting and all kinds of things, and the carriage is going down step by step. I mean, I said, wow. I mean, that was just a beautiful, beautiful tribute to that earlier silent movie. But you know, that's what I love, the fact that a scene is so powerful that a director many, many, many years later said, you know, I want to pay tribute to this wonderful director, so I'm going to include a scene in my movie to pay tribute. And you know, so the scene lives on, and as long as, you know, it's a different take, but I mean, that's something I really enjoy trying to
get that take. I was thinking like that. If you, I think, what is it? All Quiet on the Western Front is, what's the one where they have the fields of poppies?
Yeah.
And then you think of Dr. Zhivago, where he's riding through the field of sunflowers or daffodils or something like that before he turns around and goes back. But they use the flowers in the same way, I thought, you know, as a background to show something, like the poppies to show, you know, the memories, and the sunflowers to show, like, or I think sunflowers or daffodils, I can't think what it, like a new, the new,
yeah,
your new birth, the spring sort of thing. But they right, use them in different ways. But again, it's, you know, looking back at how it's been used before, and like you said, you know, you pick up especially some of the silent movies where you had to have the pictures to show the stuff.
Right. And of course the scenes that I love are the culmination scenes, where the scene is the culmination of the movie and sort of answers the mystery the appearance of the Statue of Liberty at the end of Planet of the Apes. He's on the assumption that he's on an alien planet and all that stuff. And all of a sudden he sees we see the back of the Statue of Liberty. We see the crown, and all of a sudden he starts swearing and all that. He says, "Oh my God, I'm
what did you do?
You start swearing all that. You destroyed it. You sons of, you know, whatever." Yeah. And so then of course the Sunset Boulevard. Remember Norma Desmond comes down the stairs there. She's gone, you know. She's gone wacko, and they finally coax her to that she's. They're actually filming. Speed the Mill is actually filming a scene. So she comes down the stairs, and she's all glamored and all that. And you know, she's smiling for the cameras and all that, because they're trying to get her into the car to take her somewhere. But I mean, scenes like that are, you know, you say, oh, wow, that's a culmination of the movie, and you know, what a wonderful way to present it.
Yeah, before I hand over to you, I mean, this is something you and I could go on chatting for hours about, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Obviously.
I was thinking of Destry Rides Again, I think it was. I forget which one.
Oh, okay.
Where she wipes, she's dying, and she wipes the makeup off her before she kisses Jimmy Stewart again, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. It's the calm, you know, it's built up to that. You know, it's going, you know, she Frenchie's going to die, and that, and then her last thing is to wipe the makeup off her lips because he said he wouldn't kiss her with all the makeup on or something like that. You know?
Yeah. So it's obvious, as I said, there's hundreds and thousands of scenes, and we all have our favorites. So it's a very difficult choice.
Very difficult indeed.
Very, very difficult choice.
I'm sure it was, but I'm sure, you know, with your expertise and just listening to you and your audience here listening to you, this book, The 100 Greatest Scenes in Motion Picture History, will be one that people will read, people will discuss, people will have their own views, and a lot of people will enjoy. Yeah. So that's great. So what I'm going to do now anyway is hand the show over to you, Tony, so you can tell everybody where people can find more about your books and, of course, including yourself and this new one.
Yeah, well, it's available on Amazon, and it's a real value. It's like 508 pages. And it's
wow.
Full of all kinds of interesting stuff. And you can get it on Kindle. It's only $9.99. And then paperback, it's only $19.95. So it's a real bargain. And
right.
And on Amazon. So you can read about the book and read about me on Amazon, about my background and all that, but I think everybody will enjoy it, and I hope it brings back a lot of memories for people who love movies as much as I do.
Oh, Tony, it certainly has to me. I tell you, I've really enjoyed chatting to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me back again. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. Great to have him back. It really is. Tony Puzzilla, P-U-Z-Z-I-L-L-A. There, I said it in American. P-U-Z-Z-I-L-L-A, if I'm going to say it in English. But P-U-Z-Z-I-L-A. And this is his latest book, 100 Greatest Scenes in Motion Picture History. I mean, we've been discussing so many, and I'm sure we've only just not even scratched the surface. And I'm sure that you're out there thinking, well, what about this? What about that? What about, you know... Always you think of it and it brings back memory. And if anybody can bring back those memories, then it's Tony. I totally recommend this. It's a great price as well, for a book like this. I mean, normally they're an arm and a leg sort of thing, but this is great. Anyway, that's it for now. Don't forget, I'll be back on Sunday with 5 to 6 with Those Were the Days. No theme this week. It's just straight music and some variations in music, shall I say. And then after that, of course, 60 minutes from 6 p.m. Eastern to 7 of the Swinging 60s. Music from the 60s there for you to enjoy. And then next week I'll be back with a couple of new guests. But then till then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget... Make sure it's working.